Hey, 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 it is Thursday evening. This is Marianne, and you're listening to Money Matters with Marianne, right here on 88.7 Cove FM, coming to you live from Hubbards, Nova Scotia. So hello to all the listeners out there, those in the community, those from a little further away, and those from far, far away. Thanks for tuning in. I'm looking forward to spending the next hour with you. So what do we have on the agenda for this evening? Well, we have great songs, of course, with a money theme. And if you have a money-related song that you'd like to hear, I welcome you to call it in to me at 902-858-2077 or pop me an email at studio@covefm.com. I'll be keeping an eye on those as well. All right, well, we're going to talk about a couple of things tonight. We're going to talk about money, of course, because this is a money show. And I'm going to share a letter off of one of my new favorite websites that I found, which is Dear Debt. And there's great letters posted to debt. But recently there was one posted to money that I thought was interesting enough to share. It's a little long, so I'm going to break it down throughout the show and share different parts of it. And we're going to continue on from last week with questions to ask yourself before spending money. So I have some of those coming up as well. But to kick things off, I'm going to start with a joke, a little money-related joke that I've been doing the last few weeks. So here you go. This one is titled Money Troubles. I was in small claims court when I listened in on the case of a woman who held a good job but still had trouble paying her bills on time. Can't you live within your income? Asked the judge. No, Your Honor, she said. It's all I can do to live within my credit. Okay, insert groan here. It's sad, but it's true. Because, unfortunately, we live in a society where credit is all around us. And it's hard to get away from it. And it's so easy to use credit to support your living, to support your lifestyle. And that's one of the things that I often talk about on this show. And in my regular job as a licensed insolvency trustee, where I help people find solutions to their financial woes, and I help them put the fine back into their finances. So here's the letter. I'm going to start it off before we play our first couple of tunes to get things going. So this is Dear Money, I Forgive You. Dear Money, I have been thinking about writing you for a while, but I really wasn't sure where to begin. All I do know is that I've wronged you and you deserve an apology. However, I'll admit that the apology is not completely altruistic. Forgiveness would help me move on, and my hope is that we could, one day, grow closer and have a more mutual, beneficial relationship. Truth is, we have hurt each other a lot. Looking far back into my childhood, I can see that you and I got off to an extremely rocky start. You presented yourself to me first as shiny silver dollars. You were cherished little glittery gifts that I stashed safely away in my little miniature mailbox coin box. I was infatuated with you, not because of what you could get me, but because you were beautiful and you were mine. That is, until the day you ran away with my sister to the video arcade. You traded yourself into dirty little quarters, which granted my little sister hours of Asteroids and Ms. Pac-Man. How could you? I was so hurt. I felt betrayed by you and my sister. Now in hindsight, my sister was just a little girl who wanted to play and took something that wasn't hers. That's what little sisters do. And you? Well, I suppose you weren't responsible. You didn't abandon me. The child in me only remembers the loss. The child in me didn't appreciate my parents' attempt to give me an allowance in such a special way to teach me of your value. I forgive you, my sister. I forgive you, my money. So that's the first start of the first part of the letter, and there's a couple more as she goes on through her life that I'll share with you a little later, and then a summary of why I think this letter is so important and the kind of underlying message in it all. But before we get into that, I'm sure that you're dying to hear some tunes. So I have a couple great ones picked out for you. And the first one is Katie Lang, Love for Sale. Just a really nice, soft tune to get us in the mood. And that's followed up by Kingsman, Money. And then I'll be back to continue on with the show. So until then, enjoy the tunes.
Appetizing young love for sale. This is 88.7 Cove FM.
Cove FM is sponsored in part by the Aspatagan Heritage Trust, investing in community vision since 1994.
The Masthead News, now online. Go to www.themastheadnews.ca to read each edition of The Masthead. That's www.themastheadnews.ca.
Hey, everybody still there? I'm back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Money Matters with Marianne, and I'm Marianne, and I'm talking about all things money. So, I'm going to move into my lessons learned or relearned. In other words, these are things that come up throughout the week in my conversations with people that either remind me of something that I think is worth sharing, or sometimes I learn something new that I think is worth sharing. So, here's what came up this week. Is this a good strategy or a bad strategy? Pay the bills and spend the rest. Okay, if anybody out there didn't say it's a bad strategy, I will give you my number at the end of the show and you can call me. Pay the bills and spend the rest is not a good strategy, but unfortunately it's one that we kind of, default into if we don't have a spending plan. So it is sort of a plan. It just has a little bit of a loose end to it, which means that, you know, you've got a good start to the month. You know what bills you have. You know when they need to be paid. You pay them. You know kind of sort of what you need for groceries and gas and, you know, cigarettes or recreation or kids or whatever other expenses you have, and you deal with that. And then there's this amount that's just left, and it's for everything else. And the problem with that strategy is that it will go to everything else. And there won't be anything set aside for savings, goals, planning, etc. So the missing piece of the puzzle most of the time in a spending plan is setting aside money for things that do come up occasionally. Now, some people call that an emergency fund, but to me, an emergency fund is something different. An emergency fund is for something that really is completely unplanned. Whereas you have this assortment of expenses that are planned. The three main big ones are car. If you have a car, you're going to have repairs and maintenance and registration. Home. If you have a home, you're going to have home maintenance costs, windows, roofs, plumbing, heating, etc. And the third one can be a combination of a few things, but kids are usually the ones I throw in there, recreation costs, or maybe pets with vet costs, or it could be medical. So those are some examples. So don't pay the bills and spend the rest. Set up a plan so that you pay the bills and you set money aside for things that come in and you have a certain amount that you spend, kind of called mad money, every month. That's number one. Number two, this I found interesting. This was new. I didn't know that. And it is social media's impact on our finances. And so what I didn't realize, and it makes perfect sense, is that if you're applying for a loan, oftentimes the lender, certainly if you're dealing with, you know, tier two or three lenders, meaning not the main big banks, but the next lenders down, they're going to look you up on social media to determine whether or not they should loan you money. So yet another reason to be very careful about what you post on social media. And Canada Revenue Agency. Also, if they're trying to find you, they're going to start looking on social media. So I thought this was really interesting because it's a whole new avenue for lenders or collectors to use to get in touch with you, to figure out what you have, etc. I think this came up with a mortgage broker who had told me that she had got a loan for someone, and the bank, she knows that this lender goes on social media, so she did her research first, and the person had an interesting name that had something to do with a substance that's illegal and probably not going to be soon. However, it didn't look very favorable for him, and so she contacted him and suggested that he change that. And it also came up with Revenue Canada, who was talking to someone and looking to collect their debt, and mentioned several things they owned that they knew they owned because there were pictures of them on social media. So there's a couple ways that that can impact you. Okay, number three. Here's a phrase I hear all the time. And let's see if you can figure out what's wrong in this phrase. Ready? Things were great. I had a higher paying job, two jobs, my wife was working, whatever. And we were paying our credit, there was no issue. Did you catch that? Things were great. You had a really good paying job or a couple of jobs. Why were you using credit? And herein lies the most, Herein lies the biggest issue with our finances today, with the world today, with the availability of credit, with the reliance on credit, with the use of credit, is that we have this belief that we need to have credit as a part of our lives. And we simply don't. Not all the time, not to the amount that we use it. So if things are great and you have a great income, you shouldn't need to have credit cards with a balance and continue to use them and incur or carry a balance. Now, if you use your credit cards and pay them off every month, that is completely different. You are just redirecting your spending. You're not supplementing your income with credit. That's not an issue. But if you are carrying a balance or if your balance is increasing, you are borrowing money to increase your income, to live a lifestyle your income doesn't support. So those were the three things that came up this week that I thought were interesting enough to share. So I hope you enjoyed that and got a few tidbits out of it. Okay, so going back to my dear debt letter. So I said I was going to continue on with the next part of that. So we already got the part where the contributor was a small child with money. So here we go. Dear Money. As I grew, I felt ashamed of how you seemed to avoid me and my family. You really weren't making yourself available to us. It was embarrassing to have to shop at the bargain stores when my girlfriends all gossiped about their weekends at the mall. They sported their Jordache jeans and their Sony Walkmans, while I hiked up my no-name leg warmers and feathered my hair with the generic comb tucked safely in the back pocket of my jeans from Kmart. Our family was middle class, with a working dad, stay-at-home mom, and three kids. Where were you? The child in me remembers powdered milk and the never-ending peanut butter and jam sandwiches for lunch. Those are a luxury nowadays, by the way. I remember wearing high-water jeans and scruffy sneakers. The child in me remembers feeling like having money wasn't something attainable for us. The child in me didn't appreciate how hard it must have been to budget a single income and feed a family of five, especially during Dad's 18-month-long union strike. I truly wonder how they did it. We were well-fed, well-mannered, well-educated children living the dream. I forgive you, my parents. I forgive you, my money. So that was the next segment of the letter, and I have another one I'll share with you a little later. But it is time for some tunes, and so I have one of my favorite bands coming up, which is the Beatles. The song is Penny Lane, and if you're wondering what that has to do with money, it's in the title. Penny, money, that's it. That's how this works. I can make almost any song have some kind of a money-related theme. In fact, I challenge you. If you have a song that's a little far-stretched, it doesn't say money, it doesn't say debt, it doesn't necessarily say, you know, something specific to money, but there's a money theme in it or some part of the lyric, then my challenge to you is send me that song, and I will certainly mention it on air, and if we have it here at the studio, I will play it for you. And you can do that by email, studio@covefm.com. You can call it in, 902-858-2077. Or if you want to look me up online, just look up Dr. Det. I'm on Facebook, Twitter. DrDet.ca is my website, and my email is info@drdet.ca. So lots of ways to get in touch with me. Okay, Marianne, stop talking. These people would like to hear some music now. So here you go.
Old school pizza now has ice cream. delicious, refreshing ice cream. Only $2 a scoop. Lots of flavors to choose from. Heading to the beach or out for a drive? Stop in and grab a cone or build your own cup complete with whipped cream, drizzle, and your choice of candy. Stop by 9989 St. Margaret's Bay Road or go to oldschoolpizza.co to check out our full menu and daily specials. Delivery available as well simply by calling 902-858-2000. Old School Pizza, where we pride ourselves on tradition.
Cove FM Weather.
Cove FM Weather is brought to you by Chester Golf Club. Enjoy the magic of a classic golf course in a seaside setting.
For Thursday night, a few showers ending in the evening and then partly cloudy. Amounts 2 to 4 millimeters. Wind south at 20 kilometers an hour, becoming light, and a low of 8. For Friday, increasing cloudiness in the morning. Wind becoming south, 20 kilometers an hour in the afternoon, and a high of 17 except for 21 inland, with a UV index of 5 or moderate. For Friday night, cloudy with a 60% chance of showers overnight, wind southeast 20 kilometers an hour and a low of 11. For Saturday, showers with a high of 15, and for Sunday, showers with a high of 19.
Currently, it's 13 degrees at Cove FM.
You can check the weather anytime online at covefm.com.
Chester Golf Club offers visitors the magic of a classic golf course in a seaside setting. The course routing provides a golfing adventure that is both challenging and enjoyable for all skill levels. It's a joy to play whether you aspire to break 120 or par of 70. Any missed shots will be due to the distracting beauty of the Atlantic Ocean, the islands, and the colorful sailboats tacking in the wind. Call Chester Golf Club today to book your tee time at 902-275-4543 or book online at chestergolfclub.ca.
And I'm back, and we finished off that set with Brett Mervin, Take Your Money Down the Road. Don't take your money down the road. Spend it right here in Hubbard's. Community spending, it's all good. That's what we need. Keeps things moving and a-shaking. Supports the community and all that wonderful stuff. Okay, so I'm going to mix things up here a little bit. And last week, I had been sharing some questions you can ask yourself before spending your money. And it was a really, really long list, and there was no way I was going to get through them all. So I saved some for this week and probably upcoming weeks. So I'm going to share a couple of them with you now. And here's the first one. Questions to ask yourself before you spend your money. Can I wait on the large purchase? So it's easy to get caught up in your emotions when you're in the store or surfing online. In fact, last week I talked about making head versus heart decisions. Heart, emotions, head, logical, what makes sense. You see the bright, shiny item and you just want to buy it now. Don't let emotions get the best of you. Take a step back and ignore them for a period of time. So you may have heard about the 24 or the 48 hour rule with personal finance, and this is where it comes from. If it's not a do or die type of item, okay, if your freezer breaks down and all your food's going bad and you need a freezer, you're probably not going to walk away. Walk out of the store and give yourself 24 or 48 hours to see if you can live without the item. Heck, you can even go 30 days if you want. If you see that you don't need it at the end of the time, you've saved yourself some money. Or what's happened to me on occasion when I've done that is, if it's something that I've been looking for, sometimes I will actually find it cheaper somewhere else. However, if you find you do need it or want it at the end of the period and you have the money for it, you can buy it with confidence. So this is a great way to regain control of your money and make sure purchases are in line with your values. And you're also practicing delayed gratification, which I talked about last week, instead of getting something you want right now. So I'll share my little story with that. I was recently shopping in a local girly girl shop, so you can figure out that one. And I was spending some gift certificates I got for my birthday, but I spent a little bit more than that. And I had several items to buy, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is like going over my budget. So I decided to put one of them back, but I really, really liked it. So I put it back and I went home, and throughout the week I had bought a similar item and I wore it many times, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to get enough use of that. It's very versatile, goes with a lot of my outfits. So I actually went back the next week and bought it. So I did practice delayed gratification and did splurge a little bit as well. Did I mention I'm not perfect? Because if anybody out there thinks that I'm perfect with my money all the time, I'm not. Just saying, hand raised, guilty as charged. But that's, you know, where I learn my best lessons is by doing things wrong myself and learning the consequences. That's how we all learn our lessons. Okay, second question you can ask yourself before making a purchase. Can I get it at a discounted price? I ask myself that question all the time with everything I buy, I would have to say. I'm always looking for the better deal. In fact, if there's one thing I've had to watch myself with is not necessarily always buying the cheapest item, because there is something to be said about buying quality, but certainly looking for discounted price. So this is a great question to ask before making any big purchase, because the last thing you want to do is spend more money than you have to. So shop around and find the best price, or a little twist on this, you could look for cashback options. You know, can you get cashbacks? Or it might be points which convert into dollars. Some of the ones that I use are the cashback card. If you haven't heard about that, send me a message and I'll explain it. It's fairly new here in Canada. I use Ebates, which is an online one which gives me cash back in their account. Cashback I like because it goes in my account. Ebates goes in theirs and pays me out when it hits a certain threshold. Swagbucks is another one you can install as your search engine, and you get you do online shopping, you get Swagbucks, which you can use for product. So just, you know, a little twist to the usual. Or just make sure you don't spend too much time to only save a few bucks, as you really lose any savings to lost time. And I'm sure we can relate to that when we think about driving around looking for the best option, you know, flyer shopping several stores. You got to be conscious of the amount of money you're spending on gas and conscious of your time as well. So there's a couple questions you can ask yourself before you make a purchase with your money. Okay. Back to my dear money letter. I'm going to share the next paragraph with you, and then I'll share the ending with you before we go. So this letter, if anyone's tuning in, is from a gal who's talking about her relationship with money. So we already did the early years when she was a child and a little older living at home. Now we're moving on to college. So, dear money, when I was in college, reveling in the newfound independence of my first apartment and my first true love, you bailed on me with him that shall not be named when he dumped me and took off for Florida. I had nothing. You both broke my heart. She did put a choice word in there, which I won't read on the radio. And I was literally starving. I'd scrounge up $10 and buy a pizza from down the street. That pizza was my breakfast, lunch, and dinner until it ran out. I had no phone, no friends, tons of difficult schoolwork, and a broken heart. I binged watched China Beach on TBS and cried my eyes out for months. The victim in me put everyone to blame, especially you, money. The victim in me didn't acknowledge that I was successfully scraping my way through college. I was tough and building up my resiliency. Most importantly, I didn't acknowledge it was temporary. I forgive you, my first love. I forgive you, my money. So, one more piece to that letter that I'll share at the end of the show, and we're going to move on to some community calendar events so you can know what's happening in the community that you should take part of. And then I have Lover Boy working for the weekend, and I really hope none of you are working for the weekend, but I'm sure some of you are. So we'll play a little song for you on that one as well.
88.7 Cove FM Community Calendar.
Lordly House Museum in Chester, 133 Central Street, opens for the season Thursday, June 15th. This summer, the Heritage Society is celebrating the 150th year of Canadian Confederation with 150 years of food. There'll be a food exhibit at Lordly featuring Sir John A. Macdonald's dining table, a chance to identify articles that are 150 years old or older, and learn about what was happening in Canada at the time of Confederation.
If you have a community event that you would like included in the Cove FM community calendar, please send the details to info@covefm.com. You're listening to Cove FM 88.7 and all around the world online at covefm.com.
Thank you. that way.
Wednesday evenings from 7 to 8 p.m. on 88.7 Cove FM or online at covefm.com. Each week, the show features one performer or band for an hour of music and interviews recorded live off the floor at Conquer All Music. If you're interested in performing, volunteering, or participating in the live studio audience, check out the show on Facebook at the Conquer All Mills Music Show. If you have missed an episode, you can listen to archive broadcasts on our YouTube channel at Conquer All Music. Tune in to the Conquer All Mills Music Show Wednesday evenings from 7 to 8 p.m. on 88.7 Cove FM.
And I threw in a little Johnny Cash there at the end. It's always an easy one to throw into my money theme songs with a name like Johnny Cash. All right then, so we are coming up to the hour. My goodness, time flies when you're having fun and talking about money. And so I'm going to share the end of the Dear Money letter. And I know I'm talking a little bit more on this show than usual. So, hey, you know, give me some feedback. Let me know what you think. If you think I'm talking too much and you want more songs, you drop us a line or give us a call. And if you think that I don't talk enough and you want more talk, less songs, let me know that as well. Because I'm here for you every Thursday night. Okay, anyone's just tuning in, this is a Dear Money song from a gal, and it starts from when she was an infant as she went through her life, and so we've made it up to college, and now the end of the, letter. And while I could continue on, elaborate the times in my marriage when you were such a hot topic, I really want to focus on what I feel like was the most profound disappointment you ever gave me. You know what a trial my divorce and custody battle was. You saw me fight with every fiber of my being to build a new life for me and my child. You saw me move 3,000 miles away to reclaim the person I believed I was, but never felt comfortable being. You watched as I started a new job and suffered one of the greatest tragedies of my life. I'll admit you did support me a bit when I had to tuck my tail between my legs, admit defeat, and once again uproot my life for the benefit of my child. You knew it nearly broke me. And yet when I was in exile, in a desert land, miserable, lonely, and afraid, you left. I got fired because I was miserable. I got dumped by the love of my life because I was miserable, and you were nowhere to be found. The victim in me felt punished for trying to be independent and doing the right thing. The victim in me didn't acknowledge that I put myself in that absurdly vulnerable position with no safety net or plan B. The amazing truth is that you did come back for me. You returned when I was rock bottom. First you were gifts from the man who loved me but couldn't save me. Then you were a comfortable and loving place to stay while I got on my feet again. You were the great paying freelance contract I landed straight out of the gate. You have spent the last year surrounding me, comforting me, rebuilding my life and my dreams. You've given me the strength to live life on my terms. I forgive myself, and I thank you, my money. I suppose I'll just sum it up by saying that it was me that chose to remember you in a negative light. It was me who cast you as the evil villain and myself as the damsel in distress. You are just you, money. I see that now. And now that I've pulled up my big girl panties and committed to truly taking care of myself in every possible way, I love that phrase, I hope that you and I will have a very positive future together. And even if you try to take off one day, I won't let you. You aren't everything to me, money, but you are important, and I plan to keep you around. Your repentant friend, the Lady in the Black. The Lady in the Black is a blogger. You can find her online. I thought that was a really great story. It was a little long. I was a bit hesitant about sharing it tonight because it was a lot of talking and a lot of reading. But I think it was such a great story because it really depicts our life with money. And we've given money so much power. We've made it so important in our lives. We've put it on this pedestal. And we have such a tumultuous relationship with money. We love it. We hate it. We want it. We wish we didn't want it. You know, it's just such a It can be such a, you know, wonderful, glorious thing. It can be such a energy draining, you know, negative thing in a lot of ways. So I talk a lot about that in different segments of my show. And in fact, next week I'm going to do a show on your relationship with money. And just get you thinking a little bit about how do you feel about money in your life. And so this story was from a girl who was little, very little, her perspective on money as a child, as she got older, as she grew up, and then, you know, started to realize that money showed up for her in ways that she really needed. And I would challenge you to look at your life and think about the way that you feel about money from when you were really little to today. And look at the ways that, you know, it was a positive influence in your life, and some of the ways that maybe you blamed it for things or blamed not having it for things. Okay, I was getting a little deep there. So it is 7:55, and I've got one more song for you before I say my goodbyes, and so I think I'll put that on now. And that is I Do It For The Money. So enjoy this last song, and I'll be back to say goodbye in just a few moments. And that was Charlie Major, I Do It For The Money. And the phone is ringing, I can't answer because I'm talking, so you just keep on ringing there and I'll get you as soon as I'm done talking. So, it's been awesome. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I'd love your feedback. Any questions you have, send them off. Any songs you want to hear, send them off. And until next week, I am wishing you all happy, healthy finances. See you next Thursday.
90,000 pounds in my pajamas. I've got 40,000 French francs in my fridge. I've got lots of lovely lira. Now the Deutsche Mark's getting dearer, and my dollar bills would buy the Brooklyn Bridge. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money. There is nothing quite as beautiful as cash. Some people say it's folly, but I'd rather have the lolly. With money you can make a splash. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money.
Money, money, money.
There is nothing like a newly minted pound.
Money, 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 money.
Everyone must angle for the bookmark of a banker. It's accountancy that makes the world go round, round, round.
You can keep your Marxist ways, but it's only just a phase. For it's money, money, money makes the world.
Serving Hubbard's, Chester, St. Margaret's Bay, and surrounding communities. This is 88.7 CKVE-FM.